A short while ago, Alan and I had the pleasure of interviewing Natalie Carter and Rebecca Myers, who are the power behind the YORP range of nutrition bars. They say that their mission is to create a tasty, healthy, convenient snack, and that they wanted to be the alternative to all those goop-filled nutrition bars that you can find virtually everywhere. You know, the ones that come with the mile-long list of ingredients, most of which on the whole are probably just sugar in its different forms. As far as they're concerned, the food industry has the power to help people and encourage them to be healthy. It also has the power to exploit and manipulate them. Natalie and Rebecca didn't want to be part of the problem, so they decided to be part of the solution. So let's join Alan, Rebecca and Natalie in the studio and find out what it takes to make a great nutrition bar.
Good morning, Natalie and Rebecca, and welcome to the Low Carb Paleo Show. Are you well today?
Doing well, thank you.
We're glad to have some attractive guests. You know, I'm getting tired of seeing Mark's face once in a while, you know, so it's nice. So I discovered your new product, the YORP bar. By the way, how do you pronounce it?
YORP.
With the Texas accent, like y'all, YORP?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like y'all, but with a P at the end instead of an L.
Okay. Thank you, YORP. That works. And I met you at the Paleo FX 2014 in Austin, and I really liked your product, so I wanted to invite you on the show so you can tell us a little more about it. Can you give us a little background, both of you, on, you know, how you came to start this business, basically?
Of course. So I'll start. This is Natalie. Before I moved to the U.S., I had been working as a project manager for 7 years in different countries. I started in Finland, then the Dominican Republic, and then I worked in Romania, where I also did some business development for a fitness franchise there. I created three fitness clubs over there, and then I moved to the U.S. for my husband's work and started my MBA, and this is actually how I met Rebecca. I was studying with her husband, Fritz, and he had mentioned to me that his wife had great business ideas, and I had been wanting to do something entrepreneurial for a long time. You know, I had spent a lot of time developing other people's businesses, and I thought it was time for me to do something for myself. And of course, I was very interested in meeting Rebecca and hearing her ideas, and I was very enthusiastic about the thought that we could team up and do something together. So that's what we did. We met. Rebecca introduced me to the paleo word. I was absolutely not familiar with it, as you may. Here I am, French, and my grandfather is a baker, so I've been raised in a tradition of eating French pastries and desserts and cheese and wine and all the things that you're not supposed to eat on a paleo diet, so to me it sounded very intriguing, I actually switched to the paleo diet. I did my first Whole30 together with Rebecca when she introduced me to it in January 2012, and I felt so great that I was convinced, and I actually am still eating paleo now, 2 years later. But that's how the YORP adventure started back in 2012, and we actually launched for Bastille Day 2012.
Great, so no more croissant and pain au chocolat for you?
Well, when I go back to France and my grandfather makes me beautiful cakes, I have no choice than trying them, at least.
Yeah, of course, you don't want him to get upset, and, you know, us French are very sensitive that way. Did you know, by the way, I'm a pastry chef and a baker by trade, originally?
Yes, I know, and I love your recipes.
Thank you.
I was
Thank
very
you.
Excited to see your paleo crème pâtissière recipe.
Did you try it yet?
Not yet, but I definitely will, because I'm always trying to make, like, paleo versions of the French dishes and pastries that I love, and I'm actually planning to sharing them with my grandfather when I go there this summer, so we'll see what he says.
I'm sure it'll be an interesting concept for him. Most French people, when I go back to France, they have no idea. And then when I try to explain to them, they look at me like, are you coming from another planet or something, you know, because you can't understand a Frenchman not eating bread and pastries.
Yeah, that's how I looked at Rebecca the first time. She told me about that, but that's why I tried. And, I mean, my body told me that I was feeling better, so that doesn't lie, yeah. You know.
Were you ever allergic to gluten before? Did you?
No, I have no food allergies. I'm lucky about that, but, you know, it's not because you're allergic that you will not feel better by avoiding certain foods, and that's my case.
Right. Rebecca, you want to tell us about yourself?
Sure. Well, I grew up in New York City, and then my mother moved to LA, and that was a huge culture shock for me, but I loved kind of moving to LA, and I did kickboxing and massage, and there was a lot of health things, and I was very interested in health and wellness when I was a teenager. And I actually did a little bit of personal training, and I got very interested in nutrition. I was actually a vegetarian for 12 years and a vegan for part of it. But I actually found that I was not healthy on that diet, and I started eating meat again after getting an enormous iron deficiency when I was about 26. And I was always looking to optimize my health and to figure out the best way to eat. I got interested in sort of high-intensity interval training and CrossFit training, and that's how I learned about eating paleo. I started eating paleo in 2011, and at the time I was in design school, I was studying landscape architecture and real estate development, and I had done a lot of design work, and the whole process of coming up with solutions to problems was something that I was used to, and I was looking to make a bigger impact, a more immediate impact than going into academia. I was pursuing a PhD in design at the time, and I looked at what I could do as a business person directly to offer something, to insert an alternative for people to choose. So I wanted to create something that would help people live the way they wanted to live and to achieve their goals for health and wellness, rather than to create a product that preyed on people's cravings and weaknesses. So that's what I was hoping for with Yop, was to create a really virtuous product. And I was really excited to meet Natalie because I've always worked better on a team. And I also felt I needed the business side of things, so I could do the design things and think about creating this product, but to do all of the spreadsheets, figure out the sourcing, supply chain, all the things you need to do to run a business. It was really great to have a partner.
Great, great. So how did you come up with the idea of the Yop bar?
Well, I mean, I was trying to find a bar anyway because I was traveling. My husband is Swiss, and we were actually on our way to Switzerland, and we were stranded at the airport overnight. And I had been trying to eat paleo. I had brought my little cooler with my boiled eggs for the plane, and we were there for 24 hours longer, and I got very hungry, and there wasn't really anything in the airport I wanted to eat, and then we were in Switzerland, and it was hard to find like hiking food and things like that that wasn't chocolate and bread and cheese, and so I started experimenting and making bars, and then when I met Natalie, we actually worked on refining and creating a real recipe because I had tried lots of things that I didn't like. And then we made about, I think I had made about 150 versions of a bar, and then right. We worked more and made probably another 100.
That's a lot of recipes, right?
Some were very tiny iterative changes. We had to follow a scientific method to really change one element at a time and then refine it.
Can you tell us what ingredients are in your...
Yes, of course. So we have a base of nuts and seeds for our three flavors. The main ingredients is almonds, so all our ingredients are organic. First of all, almonds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, pumpkin seeds, and bind it together with date. So we're really trying to use as little date as possible to bind it all together, make a bar that would be solid but not make it too sweet at the same time. And then the flavoring varies. So we use different spices. In the Naked, we use a little bit of cinnamon and Himalayan pink salt. In the Cafe Mocha, we use coffee, cocoa powder, and as well Himalayan pink salt and vanilla bean. And then in the Coconut Chai, we add coconut and then chai spices like cardamom, cinnamon, star anise, black pepper, and ginger.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Actually, I tasted them, and I love them. So personally, as a French chef, of course, taste is very important, but also have to look at the paleo benefits. So how does Yarb compare to other paleo bars? I mean, what are the pros and cons and benefits over some other paleo bars?
Well, so one of the bars that's often recommended for paleo dieters in a pinch is the Lara bar. And we actually wanted to create the sort of the concept was the inverse of the Lara bar, which is mostly date with a very little amount of nuts. We wanted mostly nuts and seeds for their nutrient density, their healthy fats, their protein, and then minimum date. And so if you look at a Lara bar, it might have 2 or 3 grams of protein, and it's got 24 to something grams of sugar in it. And our bar has 7 grams of protein, only 6 grams of sugar, and it comes in right at 200 calories, which is a good snack portion for a lot of women, and maybe is, and I mean, I've had men come up to me and say, this is great, I eat it, and I was really hungry, I had to get on a panel, I'm a traveling academic, and I landed from the airport, I ate this, and it kept me going for 2.5 hours, and I think it's because of the healthy fats and the low sugar, whereas if you eat a Lara bar, you are hungry half an hour later because you've had this blood sugar spike. Maybe it's good for a cyclist if they need those quick carbs for their endurance training, but I think for getting through brain work, travel, longer distance stuff, and especially if you're fat adapted, if you're limiting your carbohydrate intake on the paleo diet, then you're going to do really well on this bar, and it will, even though it's not a ton of calories, it does give you that nutrient density that I would say Lara bar doesn't actually offer, even though it's all paleo ingredients. Lara bar is also not organic.
Sounds good. Do you feel that your bars is appropriate for low-carb listeners?
Absolutely. We have about 12 grams of carbs in our bar. It's so it's not absolutely hugely low-carb, and I guess it depends on how you would define low carb. If you're trying to eat under 100 grams of carbohydrate a day, I think it definitely fits in your diet. If you're trying to stay under 50 and go into ketosis, I think maybe that would be a little trickier. So I guess that would also depend on what you define as low carb.
Mark is the expert on the low carb, so I'll let him ask those questions. Is your bar vegetarian and vegan as well?
Yeah, so it wasn't in our maybe 50th or 60th iteration, but then we made another round and we decided to switch to date as a binder versus eggs. So the bar became vegan and vegetarian, and date is actually a much better binder. And it sweetens it at the same time without any need for adding any kind of honey or sugar.
It's a good source of fiber as well.
Yes.
Something that you said earlier, a virtuous product. What would you say a virtuous product is?
Well, it's one that actually helps us pursue what we would define as virtue in our life, I think. When I was looking at this, I was looking at trying to develop new residential real estate multifamily housing designs that would help people with their social capital, help them and encourage them to have physical activity, to stay out of their cars, to walk, to have face-to-face contact with people. And when I looked at the food landscape, because when I was looking at the obesity problem in the U.S., I was thinking activity, definitely. But when I also discovered that about 80% of your body composition results come from your diet and only 20% from your activity, I thought, well, diet is actually a much more high-impact place to insert a lever and try to work on it. And I look at the food landscape, I read about food deserts, I read about the fact that, you know, low-income people don't have access to these healthy foods, but what actually turns out, they even can have grocery stores, but if a McDonald's is there, they go to the McDonald's. And I just looked at that and I thought,
there aren't convenient fast options for this diet. I couldn't find them myself. I was frustrated. I read labels, and there was nothing literally that I could feel comfortable buying and eating. And I felt manipulated by food companies. They were putting stuff in there to make them hyperpalatable and to build cravings and dependencies. And I didn't want this product to do that. I wanted this product instead to be something that would satisfy your needs, would meet your nutritional goals, and would not be addictive. And that's why I think it is a virtuous product in the marketplace, but also helps you pursue virtue for yourself in your life.
Excellent, excellent. Now, you make quite a big play of the bars being organic. How are you able to make sure that your suppliers are really organic? What sort of steps do you go through?
So we source all our ingredients through UNFI, which is the biggest natural food distributors. We are also in the process of getting our USDA organic certification. That is, of course, going to require to go through each supplier, and this is a guarantee for us. This would be a guarantee that all our products are organic. But as I said, we source from UNFI, which is the biggest natural foods distributor and has a very, very excellent reputation. Right. We are also in the process of getting our non-GMO project verification and gluten-free. So a lot of projects, and we are hoping to get that in the next 6 months.
I am very familiar with UNFI. We use it a lot at People's Pharmacy, so it's a very reputable company, and they do follow their suppliers as far as quality control. And I'm glad you are going for the non-GMO since it's my big issue, personally. So I'm glad you're going that route as well. So thank you for that.
Yes, hopefully you'll see us on the shelves in 6 months, and we'll have all our certifications. That's what we're working on right now.
Great. Excellent. And on the shelves, price-wise, how do you compare with the competition?
So we are definitely in the higher price range. Right now, all our bars are manufactured in small batches by hand, by us. We use expensive ingredients. Organic nuts and seeds are expensive. So, yes, it is more expensive than a bar that is full of corn syrup, of course, and wheat.
And powder, random yes. Soy protein powder and things. Mm.
But we believe that the people who buy our bars are actually making a conscious choice, you know, and are prepared to pay for it and understand that if they want to eat a quality product, they will have to pay a little bit more for it. Our bars retail for $2.99. That's our suggested retail price.
And compared to other paleo bars or raw bars, actually, that's pretty much in the ballpark. If you're comparing us to a Clif Bar or a Lara Bar, and especially if you like to buy them at Trader Joe's, we're going to be more expensive. We are at Whole Foods, we're at specialty retailers, we're at coffee shops, and we're working on getting into more brick and mortar, but we haven't been able to scale our production enough to really take on a big distributor, but that's another project we're working on. So hopefully we'll be in more brick and mortar locations. But you can also just buy from us online, and if you buy from us in volume, then you do get the bars at a cheaper price. It's a volume price.
As little as $2.50 a bar.
So hopefully the next step will be eventually to be on the UNFI catalog as a supplier.
Exactly. That's another project we're working on. We're busy, as you said.
So how do you plan to ramp up? Are you going to subcontract, or are you going to hire your own employees?
Right now, we are exploring three different options. One is to find a partner to help us make the bars. One is to actually create our own production facility, but we would have to set up some slow money, grant money, that kind of thing to finance that. And another is to just scale in our current place where we make the bars. But we are in conversations with people on all three fronts, and we haven't made our decision yet.
Right, right. I know how difficult that is. I also have a paleo product I'm trying to put out. My business model is different than yours. I don't plan to be involved in the day-to-day operation, just give them the recipe, train them, keep an eye on them, but just get the small royalty in the end, because I may look 40, but I'm not. So, I'm not willing to work in 60 hours in the kitchen anymore, like I used to do in the old days. So, good luck either way you decide. Of course, there's always give and take. If you produce yourself, you have better control over the quality. If you give it up to someone else, then you have to keep an eye on them. And then you bring in capital, so that might dilute your ownership in the company as well. So those are all the complicated issues for you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for us, it's really control. We feel a great sense of responsibility toward our customers. It's just not acceptable for us to not know exactly what's going on and to really know. And I think we are a bit of control freaks, but I think that it's necessary with food. There's so many shortcuts, and we don't want to do that.
Especially if you go gluten-free, then you're going to have to make sure those kitchens are certified gluten-free or that they follow very strict standards.
Yes, either that, or if we continue in our current kitchen, then we can have the bars tested regularly. And we can also get the gluten-free certification that way. It is a little bit more costly, but that's an option.
A question for Rebecca, if I may. You said you were vegetarian for 12 years, and for part of that time you were vegan. What's the biggest health benefit you've noticed of going from vegan to paleo?
I tended to be puffier and a little bit fatter. And I would count my calories. I would actually really restrict my fat grams. I really counted fat grams, and really there were times in my life when I said I'm only eating 10 grams of fat a day. And I really did that because I was very interested in health, and I lifted weights. I'd get up and run 6 miles in the morning. This was in my high school years, and I still always felt a little bit too heavy, and I was never able to get to the body that I wanted. But I also think I found that I would get brain fog. I would go into the library and do my research. I did my undergrad at Princeton, and I did lots of research. I was a history major, tons of reading, tons of time in the library. I'd get there, I'd start working, I'd pull books, and I'd go into this research orgy, and I wouldn't emerge for 8 hours or 10 hours later and just come out totally depleted and brain fogged. Now, if I don't eat for 8 or 10 hours, I might feel hungry, but I don't lose my focus because I can access my fat stores and keep fueling my brain. So I think both of those things, not feeling puffy and not in the shape that I want to be, but also to have the energy to power through and not be dictated by a mealtime or some limitation on my blood sugar.
Are there any other sort of health benefits you've noticed since you've swapped from being vegetarian to eating a full diet?
Well, definitely the nutrients that I was missing when I was eating vegetarian. Like I said, I had this severe iron deficiency. When I went in to get my blood tested, it was third world level of kind of iron deficiency. They thought I had cancer. They couldn't believe that I was actually walking around. And I just took a really intensive iron replacement program. And within a week, I felt like Superwoman. I was thinking I was out of shape, that I had lost my zest for life, that I was just depressed and I was washed up. And I was about 26 at the time. And I'd come home and just lay down, and I'd walk up one flight of steps and I'd be out of breath. And I was studying to be an opera singer, and then I became an opera singer. And I couldn't get through an entire voice lesson or a performance without getting out of breath. And I had this big performance coming up. I got this diagnosis. I took the pills. 10 days later, I got through, and it was the best performance I'd given. Like, it was just amazing. I had my breath. I had my energy. I could just do the whole thing 100%.
Did you have a B12 deficiency as well?
That didn't come up. We treated the iron deficiency, and then I started eating meat, and I started eating kind of a lot of meat right then. And I I try to eat liver once a week. I try to eat fish once a week, and I just really want to get that into my routine just to get the nutrients. So now I don't take supplements except for sometimes some fermented cod liver oil, but I've had blood work done and I don't have problems. My cholesterol is great, all of that stuff. So.
Right, right. Natalie, you're coming from the typical French diet with carbs, you know, carb loading. How was it difficult to switch, and how what difference does it make now?
So I would say that the most difficult part was the first 30 days. What we did was the whole 30. It's a program for whole 9. Basically, you eliminate all the foods that are inflammatory, and you are on a very, very strict paleo diet. And then after 30 days, you slowly reintroduce dairy or wheat, or so you can really identify what you are sensitive to or not. And for me, I really see the first difference I saw was on my skin. When I eliminated dairy, the acne problem really improved. And second thing, I noticed that when I eat wheat in the evening, I sleep much less, worse. Right, I sleep much better when I eliminate wheat from my diet, and I also feel less, as Rebecca said, like puffy. Like I can feel like my belly is more flat. So these are the three main, and of course the energy level, as Rebecca mentioned before. But that comes later. I would say after maybe a couple of months or 6 months on the diet. But the first 30 days, that's really what I noticed. What was the most striking to me, like my skin. Better sleep, and my belly became flat, which I had never really managed to achieve before on the French diet.
Yeah, I have the same kind of problem too, but for probably different reasons. No more camembert and roquefort for you, eh?
A little bit sometimes. I mean, I would do what they call the 80-20 rules, like 80% of the time on the paleo diet, 20%, especially when I receive some French guests. I cannot just impose a paleo diet on them. Wouldn't appreciate, I would say, or they would think it's, so I just keep serving the cheese and the tradition, and the wine, of course.
Wine
I eat a little bit of it because you have to be social, right, and taste what you're serving to your guests.
I do the same thing. If I go to an event and there's cheese, I'm not going to stop myself from doing it. I even splurge into little bread or crackers here and there. It's kind of a treat. You see it as a treat, and then not. And the trick, I guess, is not to, feel guilty about it. Just enjoy it.
And then you stop craving those foods that you used to crave. When I see a piece of bread, I'm not attracted to it anymore because I know how it's going to make me feel. So then your taste and your cravings change as well.
As you've now been doing paleo for some time, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would do different if you were to start again?
You know, it's interesting. I think I did really well starting paleo. But I have recommended to other people and seen them start. And what I started at first was actually the slow carb diet, Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Body slow carb diet, where you basically eat beans and you get rid of all the other carbs in your life. Mm-hmm. And you eliminate all the white food. So you eliminate dairy, you eliminate fruit. And I actually was on that for about 6 months before I was reading more and more about paleo and decided to try that instead. And I think that actually allowed me to avoid the low-carb flu. I didn't actually go through that whole transition kind of period that other people seem to really suffer from and then get discouraged by. So I think I did that well, but I see other people doing it badly. And I come from a family of people that are really... they have obesity issues, and I've tried to get my sister and my mother to do these things, and I would say I got so excited about paleo that I tried to get them to do it immediately, and I realized it was better to get them to kind of do a stepping stone So I got them to do slow carb, and that was much more, first of all, affordable for them and familiar, and kept them from having the low carb flu feeling. So they were actually more successful. And then I would say the other thing is, yes, you want to do your kind of 30-day reset or introduction, but after that, I think learning to be, as we were just talking about, 80-20, not letting everything like food choices and food concerns start to consume you and become this strange anxiety slash obsession, and live and understand that life and time with people is more important than always being perfect with your diet, is important. I think I got a little bit, I went overboard a little bit, and that was something I regret a little bit, because you can get into this preaching, I must save the world mode and I have to be perfect mode, and that's a mistake.
Same question for you, Natalie, then, really. Sort of, if you were to start again knowing what you know now, what would you do different, if anything?
Start eating paleo, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I would do anything differently. I'm very happy with my experience. I had a good advisor, who is Rebecca, right here.
I stopped being a weird polemical preacher by the time I met her.
So we actually went together to a whole nine, whole 30 workshop. We learned a lot. So I learned a lot about the backgrounds and the reasons why starting this diet. So it put me like in a good mental condition to start it. And then I just went through my 30 days and felt good. And I don't think I would do anything differently. In fact, I converted my father to the paleo diet. And wow. He's lost 10 kilos, like 20 pounds, and he works on an oil rig in Angola, and he brings his yolk bars with him, and the cook cooks special meals for him, and he's very happy about that. He feels great. So I'm very happy of that. Next step is convert my mom.
That works. It takes a lot of willpower to go through 30 days without any of those goodies when you go cold turkey like this. How did you manage that?
You know, I used to smoke, and I just stopped one day. And I guess it's just about being determined and pursuing your goal, and I just did it. It was also a challenge, and we were two. Rebecca and I started it together, so right. We were kind of holding each other accountable for it, and that helps. I think starting as a team really helps.
Yeah, having a buddy that's either watching you or encourages you is a good idea. But what that makes me feel, too, is that both of you are very determined and that you'll be very successful in your business, too.
Well, thank you. We are determined indeed.
Yes, I can tell. I can tell on that face. So now, can you tell us how and where can we find your products?
Yeah, so we are in about 100 natural food stores, cafes across 10 states. On our website, yopeats.com, you can find a list of all our retail stores, and of course you can buy online as well. As Rebecca mentioned before, we have volume discounts if you buy the bars online, and you can mix the flavors. So, in North Carolina, we are at Whole Foods. We are working on getting in more regions of Whole Foods, so hopefully the next one will be California. That's what we're hoping. I just moved to California, so I'm going to start working on this. And also, as Rebecca said, once we get a distributor, we will get a wider retail presence. But right now, of course, the website is the easiest way to order our product.
Yeah, and the website address again is just yawpeats.com. That's our name, yawpeats.com. And also, if you have a favorite store you wish we were at, please just send us an email and we will approach the buyer and try to get in there. That's how we find good stores that are a good match for our product. And we love to hear about that. You can just write us at info@yawpeats.com, and that email goes to both of us. So you can reach us that way.
That's great. I'm impressed at how well you've done so far. That's an enormous amount of work. And there's just two of you. Are you getting some help from other people?
We have people helping us make the bars in the kitchen. So I'm always in the kitchen, or Natalie's always in the kitchen when the bars are being made. But we hire a crew because it's very labor intensive and takes a long time. And then we have had a couple people, we've hired some NC State interns to help us with sales and some customer service stuff. And that's something that's good. We both are NC State graduates. I did my Master of Landscape Architecture there at their College of Design, and Natalie did her MBA there. So that's our alma mater school, and we really like the way that they train and teach students to really be professional and get out there in the world and work and do things instead of just doing academics.
This is a good way for the school and the students to get a foot in the door in the business world, no?
Yeah, definitely. It's a win-win. We pay our interns, though. We're not one of those people that just gets free labor and pretends it's all about education.
Right.
That's a nice stretch.
I was afraid to ask, but yeah, I've heard of those, how that can happen too. Yeah. And so who basically works the sales, I guess, the sales department? How do you get all these stores, to carry your products?
Yeah, we don't have a sales department per se. I would say that the stores that we currently have, either Rebecca has approached them or I've approached them or they've approached us, and this is happening more and more lately. We've become more popular as people know about us through conferences like Paleo FX.
Cool. So did you get a couple in Austin?
Not yet. We're still hoping on people's RX. I felt the application, felt everything, hopefully, we will pass their very strict selection process.
Yeah, it's become very strict since I worked there. You know, of course, I was the one checking on all the GMO background and make sure the products were, GMO-free. But they also improved their screening process. Now they're making a concerted effort that there's a group of people get together, and then it's decided as the group whether all the stores will carry the product, and it's been already screened, and I hope they get you in, and I hope they you're doing well there. Whole Foods Austin were not interested?
Not yet. You know, Whole Foods has application deadlines, and that's usually once a year, so we just have to wait and prepare our application, submit it, and then once a year they will make the category review. We're preparing for this year, definitely.
Good, because once you get the big one in Austin, then the doors are pretty much open for the rest of the country, right?
Yes, it still works like regionally. They are very they compartmentalize their regions very well, but it certainly helps to be in other regions and to be successful in the stores. For them to bring us in another region.
So I can foresee not long from here where you'll be rich and famous, and don't forget the little guys once you get there. So thank you, Natalie and Rebecca, for being on our show, and it was very enjoyable, and you obviously know what you're talking about, so thank you for that, and good luck to both of you and your products.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you
for having us on the show.
It's been a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you.